Welcome to Nashville and Beyond.
I'm Brian Copeland.
And I'm Zach Copeland.
And we're a father-son duo helping people buy, sell, and thrive in Middle Tennessee.
But this isn't just about business. It's also about our family and our community.
It's a front row seat to how we live, work, and serve right here in Music City.
So buckle up as we explore Nashville and Beyond.
I like your shirt.
Thank you. It says Slytherin.
Do you like my shirt?
I do.
Slytherin. You didn't even looking at it.
I was reading my shirt.
You didn't notice.
Universal's, oh, that is. That's the one that you. That's the one that you got for Micah, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're having an episode on
Universal.
Universal theme parks today.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting. I've been looking forward to this episode. We're supposed to have this episode a lot later.
Yeah.
But we just couldn't wait.
Yeah.
We just had to have this one.
Because we just got back from our trip. Spoiler alert, the way podcast recording works is that you record multiples in advance. So that whenever it's time to release them, you have them ready. And there's a bank of them in case any kind of scheduling conflicts rise up. So I don't know when this one is going to release. It'll probably
be Halloween time.
Oh, it is Halloween time.
So that's why I'm wearing this. For those who cannot see, if you're listening versus seeing on YouTube, I'm wearing Universal's Hollywood Horror Nights. I bought this shirt from Micah. And today Zach was like, what shirt are you going to wear for Universal? And I was like, I've got Micah's shirt. It's teeny tiny. But hey, it's here, and I'm sitting down so you can't see everything there. But yep.
So yeah, we just got back from a trip to Universal. We went for kind of like my pre-birthday celebrations because today is technically my birthday. But we went
in podcast world.
Yeah. We went for a full week. We left on a Sunday night and we flew back on a Friday night.
Yep.
And the trip was just incredible. We visited three theme parks, none of which I had ever been to before. And one of those three you had never been to before because it just opened this year.
Yep.
And so we were among the first. Yeah.
You didn't know this, but it was a day 100 was that it? We were there.
We were on the 100th day.
Yeah. That was big news this weekend because everybody was like, it's made it to 100 days.
Yeah.
We were there for it.
I can see how that would be important, you know, especially with stuff falling apart. And is this going to work? Is the flow going to work? Is everything going to work the way that they wanted it to work? So.
And for those who don't know, because perhaps you're like, what are we talking about? You know, just like Disney has Animal Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Magic Kingdom, Universal Resort has a whole set of theme parks.
Yeah.
So they've got Islands of Adventure, Universal Studios, and Epic Universe, which just opened.
Yeah.
And again, why it's salient to Nashville and beyond, because this is about Nashville and beyond, is we've got direct flights that get you there in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You can be, that's one of the things I love about living in Nashville, is we are a car drive away from like, I forget what the statistic is, but it's a huge percentage of the population of America.
Yeah.
You know, we can be in New York. We can be at the beaches in North Carolina, in Georgia, in Florida. We can be at theme parks.
Yeah.
We can get in the car and you and I could be riding roller coasters tonight if we left right now.
Yep.
So that's one of the joys of Nashville. Our airport's huge. Southwest is a hub that goes straight to Orlando, American. And then there's another smaller airline that goes into a different airport there that's like $30.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. Now, I don't know if I'd want to take it or not, you know. But, you know, if you need an inexpensive trip, I mean, you can get down there at any time. So that's what I love about, you know, when we talk about the ambient or these pieces too.
But so, a $30 plane ticket, I don't know if that includes a seat.
I don't know.
You may just be standing and holding on like a subway car.
With some chickens.
It's an extra 40 for a seat, extra 10 for a seat belt.
Well, and I'd been before to the parks.
Yeah, you had.
So I want to leave the first impressions to you of the parks. So.
Okay.
So tell me about your first impressions of...
Gosh, my first impressions. Well, you know, I was going into this with having already been to Disney World and Disneyland and was in love with those theme parks because Disney just does it. They do it really well. You know, the Imagineers that they have are just incredible.
Yep.
And each of the lands that they have is so detailed and the architecture is amazing and the park experience is amazing. So I went to Universal thinking this is going to be like great value Disney World. It was not.
No.
It exceeded far above and beyond what my expectations were for the parks. I am now, I can say with confidence, I am a Universal Parks person over a Disney Parks person. And I know that that's controversial because there's a lot of Disney fans out there. And I'm still a Disney fan, hear me clearly. And I will still go back to Disney because Star Wars is there and I love Star Wars and
Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah. Which is one of my favorite rides. It's probably my number three ride now after having been to Epic Universe because my top two rides now are at Epic Universe and we're going to talk about those. But yeah, my first impressions for me was definitely just wow, 10 out of 10. The City Walk area was amazing. That's what they call it, right?
Universal City Walk. Yeah, it's kind of downtown Disney version of downtown Disney.
City Walk was amazing. Security getting in and out of the parks was great. Parking experience was great. You know, the getting into the park from the parking lot at Disney, it was like it took forever to do it. And you had to walk and walk and walk and walk. But here it was like very compact and everything's right there. And so, yeah, that was my first impression.
And we walked to one of the parks.
We did.
Because that's one of the joys of staying in that area. It's close to the airport.
Yeah.
And then the places to stay are affordable. We stayed at a 3-bedroom, 2-bath condo with a kitchen, everything for just over $100 a night.
Yeah.
It was insane value. So that's always my first impression. Beyond, you know, the parks and everything. Yeah. So let's talk first. On our first day, we went to Universal Studios.
Yeah.
I wanted you to go to Universal. Again, I've been to all of them. I've taken Micah by himself. I've taken Esther by herself. I've gone with the whole family, minus you. And this was your time to go on your time. So I wanted you to go to Universal first because, again, not slamming Universal at all. But if you're looking at vacationing out of Nashville and taking a trip down there, I think you should go to Universal first because you may set your bar too high if you go to the other ones first.
Yeah, so. I am. I'm actually Googling right now what the rides are there because I just want to make sure that I touch on all of the ones that I enjoyed. And there were a lot. There was actually a lot more rides there than I thought that there would be. So I think
Revenge of the Mummies was your sleeper.
It was. Yeah. You know, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of hokey.
So good.
Because the Revenge of the Mummy movie is not great. I mean, none of the Mummy movies are great.
Right.
But the ride was just incredible.
Yeah.
From there was a lot of fire. That was one thing that I noticed at Universal was a lot of their rides have pyrotechnics in them. And it's not just like, oh, there's a candle lit over in the corner of the ride or, oh, there's, you know, a little fire burst that happens. It's like you are feet away from large sources of open flame that are shooting out 20-foot long projectiles of fire. And there's at one point in that ride, the ceiling caught on fire above us. And I don't know how they did that. It's really cool. But they flip you back over so that you're kind of almost on your back and you're looking up and literally the whole ceiling is on fire. And it's not like they projected fire onto the ceiling.
No,
there's real flames. And I don't know how they
did
it.
And it's 100 degrees outside, so it feels awful.
Yeah. Too, so. Yeah. So you get a little cooked.
Was that your favorite ride though?
Well,
there's rides and attractions. So what was your favorite ride there? I'll talk about my favorite ride there first.
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you can get to yours. Obviously the Mummy is a very big favorite of mine, but I love the Transformer ride. I thought it was spectacularly done. I'm not a Transformers fan, but it was just a full experience ride for me. So that would be my top one there, just the graphics. The queue was great, all those pieces. That'd be my ride. How about you?
Yeah, I think for me it was probably the Mummy ride because it was so good.
I don't know if it'd be the Harry Potter ride for you.
The Gringotts was there, wasn't it? I'm struggling to remember all the rides because there were so many.
You did so much. And each park has a Harry Potter area, and Zach is a Harry Potter super fan. That's why he's wearing a Slytherin shirt today.
Uh-huh.
And of the three parks, I know you don't agree with this, and we'll talk about that later. I think Universal Studios has the best Harry Potter area. And the reason I like it so much is because many of the other parks, they're facades. They're all facades too in Universal Studios. But behind those facades, there are actually things in Universal. And what do you call that little alley that has all the wand stuff in it, the dark alley?
Nocturne Alley.
I love that area.
Yeah.
I just think it's so unique. So if I'm looking at, when I'm looking at rides versus attractions, I like that Harry Potter world. But as far as, I'll let you talk about that more. I enjoy the parade.
The parade was really cool.
I thought the parade was so good. They had these floats that's like Jurassic Park, Trolls, Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was so good. So that would be my attraction. Then my ride would be.
Yeah. Did you say Jaws? Because they had a big Jaws thing too in the
parade. Yeah.
And it's like this huge animatronic shark. They had an animatronic T-Rex.
Yeah.
There was E.T. There was an E.T. Float that came by at one point. where they had like BMX bike superstars riding out in front of the float on bikes doing bike tricks through the parade, which was really, really cool. The Trolls part of it was pretty cool. The Ghostbusters experience was really cool. But yeah, so there was the, it's called Diagon Alley is the name of the Harry Potter world there. And it's basically the in the world of Harry Potter, it is the central market in London where all witches and wizards in the universe go in that area to get everything that they need to be a witch or a wizard. Cloaks and cauldrons and wands and spells and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to nerd out here for a bit. So y'all excuse me because I'm a huge Harry Potter fan. The ride there, Escape from Gringotts, was amazing.
This is great.
That's where they have the entrance to that ride is actually the queue is in Gringotts Bank, which they have built a replica of there in the world. And there is a fire-breathing dragon that sits on the top of it that every 10, 15 minutes or so shoots out a huge burst of flames. And it's really cool to see, especially to be walking around and there's people who don't know that that's going to happen. And then they hear it and they jump and scream.
I showed the video of you seeing the dragon blow the fire for the first time to your grandparents yesterday.
Yeah.
We laughed so hard. I'll share that on Instagram too, okay. So everybody
yeah.
can see that.
Please, it's please great do. To please see
you
do
that. Yeah.
So that was fun. And you know, all the spells that you can cast there, that's like interactive stations where you point your wand at something and then something happens. And I won't give away too much because it's really something you need to experience yourself if you've never experienced it.
If you're a Harry Potter fan.
If you're a Harry Potter fan. Yeah. If you're not a Harry Potter fan, I mean, it's cool. There's a learning curve to it to get it to happen right. And sometimes you have to ask people for help and sometimes the things don't work. They're just out of order for the moment. But yeah, that was probably my favorite part of the park there. That was where we had the live from New York or the Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon.
One of the Jimmys that's the late night host. Just kind of an odd ride.
Yeah. But it was still good.
Yeah, it was still good. It was still good.
I guess my least favorite ride was that that gun ride we did with the villain con Minions.
From Minions, yeah.
You stand on this, you know, this walkway and you shoot at the screens.
Yeah.
I found that weird, but yeah. You know, I
didn't you're standing on a moving sidewalk like they have at the airports and it just runs you through the section and I was like, okay, I've been standing all day, walking around all day. Can y'all please put some seats on this thing?
Yeah.
The other ride that we did that broke down while we were on it was the Fast and Furious ride. And when I say broke down, I mean it stopped. And then for the next 15 minutes or so, they would say, okay, your ride's getting ready to start. And it would move about...
It jolt us.
It would move. Yeah, it would jolt about 6 inches. Everybody in the bus got whiplash, mm-hmm. and then it would stop again. And then the voice would come over, this ride is temporarily broken down. And some guys would come out and play with it underneath to fix it with some wrenches. I don't know how they do that stuff. I'm not a mechanic. But they would do that. They would leave. The lady would come back on. Okay, this ride's getting ready to resume. Please hold on. Jolt us again, another 6 inches, and then it would stop.
Yeah.
So eventually they turned all the lights on. We got to see
backstage.
All of it.
It was so
all
cool.
All backstage. How they do it, it's really cool. And they walked us all off of the bus and gave us passes.
Yeah. Well, it made me appreciate when we actually got to ride the real thing
yeah.
that we got to see how it worked.
Yep.
And you can't talk about Hollywood Studios without talking about Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
You know, during it starts in September next week, obviously, or here in a few weeks on the podcast. Here's Halloween, based off when you're listening to this. And they closed the park at 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's a separate ticket for Halloween Horror Nights. It's sold out. Mm-hmm. And so you'll see everybody coming in. You can't wear costumes per se, but you'll see people in really interesting clothes.
Yeah.
And then they have all these haunted houses around. We got to see them while we were there.
Yeah.
And just really cool to see.
Yeah. And I like I think one of the things I like the most about it is that they have certain things that you can wear or pick. I think it's a necklace. I'm not 100% sure, but it's a way for character actors to know what your tolerance level is for being scared. And I would probably have like a medium tolerance level. Micah would have one that says, do not approach
me
at all. Don't touch me. Don't look at me.
And then Esther would go kiss him.
Yeah.
She loves scary things.
Her scare tolerance is insane. It's insane.
Crazy.
We've talked enough about Universal Studios for now. Let's move.
You didn't get to ride the train, though, that connects Harry Potter World to Islands of Adventure.
I didn't.
But Islands of Adventure is where, you know, the next park, of course.
Yep.
And it just connects by that train from the Harry Potter Worlds Connect, or you can go through their port of entry there, their Islands Adventure through City Walk. So what was your first impression of Islands of Adventure?
I really liked it. I liked the layout. I'm noticing a theme with Universal Parks where there's a big water body in the middle of the park and everything else is kind of connected to that water body. You know, I really enjoyed the Velocicoaster, one of the greatest coasters in the world.
It's my favorite.
I really enjoyed Hagrid's Motorbike Adventure. That was amazing. I rode Hulk twice. First time I rode it was by myself, and then you came and met me, and we rode it together again. I didn't like that one as much as the others just because there's a lot of loop-de-loops in that one, and the way G-forces work is whenever you're doing a loop-de-loop, on the way at the bottom of the loop back down, there's a lot of negative Gs, and so it feels like you're being crushed, like you're being pushed back into the seat, and I just didn't like that feeling. You know, I did the Spider-Man ride, which you told me was the first 3D ride experience that was ever created, and it was awesome. I didn't feel like it was outdated at all, but like it was still relevant and still
good. High quality, yeah. It's high quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's a strategy to riding rides there because there's fast passes, which take you to the quote-unquote maybe front of the line.
Yeah.
You still have a wait, but one of the strategies is just to watch the app when a ride goes down.
Yep.
Like, for example, Hagrid's went down tons of times, but we usually, if it goes down, wait 30 minutes and then go stand in front of the ride.
Yeah.
Because when it opens, we got on Hagrid's within 10 minutes, and it was up to a 210-minute wait.
Yeah.
So there is a strategy for playing the game at these parks. I always love that ride. I think the Hagrid ride is just impeccable. But we can't ignore your addiction to the Jurassic Park boat ride. And this is what I was telling your mom and Papaw, Mimi and Papaw yesterday, was you were like a four-year-old.
Yep.
And we would go down that big hill on the Jurassic Park ride, and he's like, I want to do it again. And we were soaking wet.
Yep.
And it's not as bad wet, but anyway.
It's like a riverboat ride.
Let's do it again.
Yeah.
So
I would have done it 30 more times.
You would have.
I just really enjoyed it. I really enjoy the when you go down a hill, that experience of weightlessness. I love that so much. And then to have the big water at the end. And to also, it's kind of fun to see everybody else gets splashed too because they have all their hair all done up and their makeup on and, you know, their glasses get knocked off if they're sitting in the front. So that was kind of fun to watch over and over and over.
Yeah. And Islands of Adventure is divided into quote unquote islands. Yeah. So you enter the port of entry and then the first island you get to is Seuss Landing.
Uh-huh.
And we rode the Dr. Seuss ride, the Cat in the Hat ride, which was
corny. So corny.
But it's so cute.
It's a classic.
The whole land is just pink and orange and green. And then you go over to this like Moroccan theme, and it's actually being closed down.
The Lost Continent.
Yeah, they're closing down that one of the big buildings. So I'm interested to see what they'll do there.
Yeah.
They're going to be revamping some things in that area. And then you get into the Harry Potter world, which we're going to talk about here in a second. Then you get into the Lost Continent, the Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh.
Then the area that is the comic strip with Kathy and Popeye and all them, and then the superhero area.
Yeah.
So those are all your islands when you're working your way around. So these themes in these areas are just insane. Down to the sidewalk detail, when you're in Jurassic Park, you look in the sidewalks and there's dinosaur prints. It's just really themed well.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about where they had the marketplace bazaar was, you would think that having a lot of people in a place like that would be a bad thing, but the nature of a bazaar is that it's a crowded, bustling marketplace. Mm-hmm. And so when you have tons of people in that space, it just adds to the realism of the environment. It makes it feel more real. And there was a really cool restaurant that we ate at.
Mythos.
And it was apparently voted 10 times in a row, the number one theme park restaurant in the world. And the food was great.
It deserved it.
Service was great. Their bathrooms were great.
And let's talk about, you know, so one thing we'll share in the show notes too is Zach's photo shoot.
Yeah.
As a big Harry Potter fan, one of his dreams was to do a photo shoot.
Yeah.
And as y'all know, I'm a photographer too. So we literally packed up a camera, two lenses, and these little bitty tiny lights that were like 5
postcard
by 7
sizes, yeah.
And we were praying that it was going to work because we had to work with darkness also there. So he got to have his photo shoot.
I did. I had a Harry Potter photo shoot. I bought robes. The cloaks, I brought the tie. I even brought black pants and black shoes and boots and white dress shirt. And
what cracked me up, and if you're a photographer listening or if you've been through photography, you understand golden hour. Golden hour is your prime time to shoot. And so Zach was like, I want to go over and get my picture made in front of the train. So the conductor's there and was kind enough to take the rope down and let Zach get his picture there. Well, people thought it was a character meet and greet at that point.
Yeah.
So Zach had a line of people to have his picture made with him because, believe it or not, there's not a lot of character actors around there.
Yeah.
Especially just traditional Harry Potter garb. Yeah. So we had this line of people, and finally I had to say, this is golden hour. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He doesn't work here. I don't work here.
Yeah.
We got to go. So I had to pull him there. And then when we did two shoots. He did the black cloak in the
Hogsmeade
there at Islands of Adventure. But then Diagon Alley over in Universal, he wore the blue one.
Uh-huh.
And same thing. We're trying to get a picture of the dragon blowing the fire. And the second it was about to happen, he's standing there in the middle. I'm about 20 feet away from him. Another line formed.
Yeah.
Mostly of international visitors.
Yeah.
Wanting pictures made. And so when I got his photos done, I was like, give me your top five favorites. One of them, of course, was with a consumer.
Yeah.
I thought he was getting his picture made with. So, yeah.
Had a little Harry Potter meet and greet. It felt good. I won't lie. It felt good for people to come up to you and be like, can I get my picture made with you?
Yeah.
You know, even though I wasn't a character actor and I didn't work for the park, I was happy to oblige because, you know, obviously I think there was this expectation for people that there would be those kind of things there. I certainly had that expectation. I thought there would be witches and wizards walking around in robes and casting spells and having things that with wands that only they could activate or only they could do. And that didn't happen. But yeah, the photo shoot that we had at Hogsmeade was amazing. Hogsmeade in the Harry Potter world is this small town right outside of Hogwarts, which is the school where Harry Potter goes. And because of the geographic location of those places in the films and books, it's always cold. And so Hogsmeade was covered in snow.
Mm-hmm.
And there's snow on the roofs and there's
icicles
hanging down and all this kind of stuff. Of course, we're in Florida and the Florida sun, thankfully it wasn't the dead of summer,
but it was still
85, 90 degrees while we were there. And I'm wearing black, all black with a black cloak on, dress tie, you know, all kinds of heavy, heavy garments, just sweating my poor little honey off.
Yep.
And you know, that kind of took away from the experience a little bit because it was just like, oh, it's just so hot.
So hot.
But the photo shoot was amazing.
Yeah. We'll put it again, go look at the picture of him doing a wand battle with a little kid for, I think probably a little Chinese little girl.
Yeah.
Maybe a little boy. Couldn't really, I don't know. But so cute.
Yeah.
And just that whole, it was just a great experience. Can't ignore, though, talking about the food.
Yeah.
There also. What I love about the Universal system as a whole is they've got like a Chick-fil-A or whatever. You can order ahead through their app. And usually when you're at Disney, you have to have a reservation in advance for a nice restaurant.
Months.
And if you don't have that reservation, then you're stuck with chicken tenders or a hot dog or a burger at some place that doesn't have the seating.
Yep.
Here, you can go to a really nice restaurant and you can order in advance. They'll bring it to your table. I had ribs, chicken, corn, and potatoes for one meal for $18.
Yeah.
And it came to the table, and then you had, what did you eat right before that? You were over at the comic strip area. Yeah.
I had pizza, which was great. I had an amazing brookie, which is a brownie cookie that you had a bite of.
And you had ice cream right before that.
And I had ice cream right before that. It's funny. We talked about fitness last time and how, you know, there's got to be a balance between things. And I had no balance while we were on the trip. But I was almost done with the brownie, and I was like, I can't eat another bite. I said, Poppy, do you want a bite? He says, yeah, I'll just take a little one. So he took a little tiny little sliver off of it. He ate it.
It was like, gateway drug.
Oh, that was good. And I was done. So I started wrapping it up. And he said, are you done with that?
Yeah.
Reached over and grabbed it.
I didn't eat the whole thing, though. I had another bite.
Yeah.
It's gateway behavior. And, of course, we took Huel drinks, which is our protein shake.
Yep.
And he was chasing his donuts down with a Huel protein shake, which that would have been a better Nashville rather for you. You could, for our fitness episode, I should have asked, if you have Crumble Cookies or Huels, what would you get rid of is what I should have asked you.
Yeah, that would have been really tough.
Yeah. The food, you can't ignore the food and just that whole experience. But, the amazing experience that we'll talk about after the break here is Epic Universe.
Epic Universe.
Can't wait to talk about it right
after this. Aptly named Epic. We'll be right back.
So I've watched Epic News since it was announced
Yeah.
years ago. And when they announced it and said where it was going to be, I dreamed of going. Because one thing that you may not know about me is I'm a huge theme park freak. I will ride any roller coaster. I've been to theme parks in all kinds of countries. I've been a Six Flags season pass holder. We go to Cedar Point in Ohio. I love mega coasters. So when they announced Universal Epic Universe, I about died. Yeah. I was so excited. And so it was my dream. I wanted to go opening week, but I was afraid that everything wouldn't work. So this time there was a dream for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, I told you, I was like, I may cry when I go. So Epic Universe, they've done it right.
They have.
I did my survey last night about it. And it's divided into five lands. And it is truly, if you imagine people studying the best theme parks throughout the world for all these years and saying, we're going to put the very best design and all in one place.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah, they did. Absolutely. You know, the five areas were Celestial Park, the Super Mario World, the Dark Universe, the Harry Potter experience, and then
Isle of Berk,
which is where How to Train Your Dragon stuff is. And, you know, surprisingly, there is a major ride and attraction in all of those lands. Every single one of them has got something amazing in it.
Well, the brilliance of it is, you know, Celestial Park in the middle is a hub, and it's almost empty. Yeah. I mean, and we were there on a very busy day. But when you go through, each area has a portal. So you portal in through the main gate, and you're entering Celestial Park. Then the ride queues are so big. When I say long, I'm talking about size-wise, long and big. You get through these other portals for each of these worlds, and it's not crowded out in the main street areas because people are funneled so well through it all. So, of course, we did Celestial Park. In there, it has the carousel, which is gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's got the hotel. You can stay actually in the park in their hotel there.
Helios,
yeah. And then Stardust Racers.
Yeah, which we called Star Booty.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember the name. And it's a dueling coaster. That's amazing. Uh-huh. Amazing. In my opinion, not as good as Velocicoaster, but one of the best rides I've ever ridden.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we take our first stop into the Harry Potter world.
Yeah, so this Harry Potter world is the Paris. So this is more from the Magical Creatures and Where to Find Them series of the Harry Potter universe. And here, you know, you're in 1820s Paris, and there is just magic everywhere. I mean, the set is gorgeous, the park that you're in, and there's such amazing depth to it all. You walk in, and there is like a four-story arched column that you walk through that is it's just huge. You look at it, and you think, how did they get something like this in a park? Because it looks like they pulled it out of the streets of Paris. And, you know, the buildings have lots of air conditioning, which we loved. There's this depth when you look back into the park where it looks like there are miles and miles of city for you to explore. And obviously that's not true, but it's just the way that they've designed it, little tricks that they do for the eye. They had two attractions in that land that we did both of them. The Harry Potter Battle for the Ministry of Magic ride that we did was just amazing. And while we were there, we got to do it, I think, four times.
Yeah. And we did first thing in the morning, and then once in the afternoon, and then at the late night, there was nobody there at 9 o'clock.
We just went back to back. And the queue for that ride is, I think it is, in fact, the largest queue
in the world.
And when I say large, I mean like you walk into a Superdome sized building, and there's just.
But it's just not walkways.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. There's tile, you portal through this fog, there's statues. My hair is sticking up on the back of my neck, and I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
It was just, it's the very finest that you can imagine of everything in that. And then, you know, we won't talk about the ride a lot because we don't want to spoil it for
you,
but the technology there, insanely good.
Yep.
The queue, all amazing. But you actually enjoyed the show in that area.
Yeah, I did. That was probably my favorite show that we saw. Cirque Arcanu.
I called it Arcanus.
Yeah, it's like Cirque du Soleil, but Cirque Arcanu. It's this magical experience and show where there is like gymnastics and acrobats.
But that's the least of it.
And these massive animatronics and
so
puppet work, and the stage is amazing. And if you are a Harry Potter fan, if you are a Magical Creatures and Where to Find Them fan. That is an absolute must see, must do while you're there.
Well, and then we got to go next to the part I wanted to go to the most. Yeah. You were most excited about the Harry Potter world. I was most excited about the monsters area.
Dark universe.
And they're looking at just the classic monsters of Creature from the Black Lagoon, Mummy, Phantom,
Dracula,
Frankenstein, all these monsters. And you walk in, you portal into Dark Universe, and the architecture's insane.
Yeah.
Insane. I don't know if there's a park in the world that has got this theming as good as this zone.
Yeah.
There's character actors in there, but of course, the ride, in my opinion, is the best ride in the world.
Yeah.
And that's the Monsters Unchained ride.
Yep.
They use the technology again we won't talk about, but the technology is something I've never seen before in any theme park. When you try to explain it to people, mom and dad were asking about, like, was it like this? No, because it's you've never seen it before. You're moving in like 20 different directions because of the uniqueness of the vehicle you are in. And just the level of animatronics in there, amazing. We were in the queue with one of our favorite reality TV stars from a show called The Million Dollar Secret. He was actually standing with us, and he's like, this is the best right here before we wrote it. And he was absolutely right.
And I want to go back to the architecture that you were talking about in this land, Dark Universe, because it was high noon in Florida, and the sun was shining. But we stepped into Dark Universe, and it felt like midnight.
It was.
Because everything, like the color choices that they've had, the fabrics, the plants, everything just lent itself to this idea of you are in a dark, decrepit, old monster land.
Yeah.
And it was even better at night when we got to go and see. And there's something that only happens at night that you can see. You want to listen for the bells tolling in the church, and there's this thing
look
that
to the left of the Monsters Unchained ride, and you'll see it.
Yeah, there was another roller coaster in there too.
The werewolf ride, I forget the name of it, but it's a werewolf theme, and you're actually on a track, and the car circles around too at the same time. I know it's not your forte because you don't like to be shifted around like that, but I actually enjoyed it. It's just really short.
It's like 40 seconds.
Yeah, I can't say if the line was short and if we had express passes, I'd ride it again. But, you know, it's one that if I didn't get to ride it, I wouldn't, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't have been as disappointed, but still a great, great coaster.
And that queue was the only one in the park that was 100% outdoors. Every other one, every other queue we were in, there were parts of it that were indoors.
Well, Isla Burke, that one.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. It was the only one in that universe that was 100% outdoors, and it was hot, y'all. It was hot.
So hot.
But,
and,
yeah,
and then we made it over to the next portal, which was Nintendo. Is it Nintendo Universe?
Super Mario World.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it's called Super Mario World.
Okay.
Neither of us are Super Mario fans or Nintendo fans.
But we did single rider line. That's one of the joys. Is now, keep in mind, tip, they don't always open the single rider line. So if you're banking on being able to move quickly through and you'll have a single part, no, they'll close those lines down.
Yeah.
Luckily, we were able to get in the single rider line for the Mario Kart ride, which was brilliant.
Yeah.
They mix, you know, the whole game feat. You have this hat on that they give you, but then it clips onto goggles, and then you get in your Mario Kart and you drive around. It's on a track, but you're playing a video game the whole time. And if you're a little one, it's amazing.
Something I learned, because I watched some YouTube videos after we had gotten back home because I wanted to know what other people thought, was if you go into the single rider queue, you will oftentimes miss the pre-show.
Right.
And the pre-show for...
We missed that one,
We missed that pre-show, and that pre-show had instructions on how to play the game.
And I didn't know how to do it.
And we sat down in the carts, and we're like, what do we do with our
hands? I didn't know the steering wheel had buttons on it.
Yeah, the steering wheel had buttons on it where you could fire off turtle shells and whatever they're called, but we didn't know that. We got in, and we're just like looking around like, oh, wow, this is cool. And then there's like you're supposed to shoot stuff at people, and so, yeah.
Well, talk about the bands, the interactive bands you knew.
Yeah, so they had these additional things. Like in the Harry Potter world, you could buy a wand that was interacting with different locations around the park. Well, in Super Mario World, you could buy a power-up band that allowed you to collect points by playing different games throughout that universe. And there were other little, like, you know, like at Disney World, they have hidden Mickeys. Well, at Super Mario, they have hidden something. I don't know what the character's called. But they were where you could go and touch it and it would sync up with your watch and it'd be like, oh, you got an extra point because you found this hidden thing. So that was pretty cool. There was one other ride there There were two other rides there. One was Yoshi's Adventure. Yeah, we also talk about those.
So Yoshi's is really for a four-year-old, 4 to 6 year olds. I rode it. There was no wait, really. So I just decided we kind of did it. We went our own ways for a little while. And I rode Yoshi fast, good air condition. Not a fast ride, but it's a, you know, it's a good air condition place to hang out. And then the Donkey Kong ride, I forget what it's called.
Mine Cart Madness. Yeah.
If it's drizzling at all, they close it down. And we're talking about a spit of rain, it closes down. So, and those ride, that wait time is 210 to 310 minutes, 3 hours in some cases.
Yeah.
So, it's a really cool ride. It feels like, you know, the joy of it is you don't see the track, and the track is actually under all the broken pieces like you'd see in Donkey Kong. It's a little bit rough. The single rider's line was good for that. So I can't say I would do Donkey Kong again,
yeah,
but I still loved it.
Yeah. And that's one that I didn't do.
So,
cause yeah, when we got over there, the line was closed cause it was barely sprinkling outside. And
yeah. And we got one more piece of the park to talk about, but we're gonna take a break before we do that. Cause it's our favorite part of that park.
Yep.
I think we may agree on that. So yeah, let's take a break and we'll talk about it.
We'll be right back.
So we have one more land to discuss.
Yep.
And it was visually amazing, and that was the Isle of Burke. And I have to admit, I didn't know a lot about How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, it's hard to think that something like that could be as popular as it is to be an entire theme park land, but boy,
so
it was.
Good.
It was great.
And you, I know you're a Disney fan. It was the one that really portaled me to Disney, that
yeah,
feel that I really, I
that
love.
Childlike wonder.
That nostalgia.
Yeah.
You walk into the island, and it's just color everywhere. They've got this huge mountain,
mm-hmm,
right in the middle of it. The animatronic dragons.
Yeah.
They got an ice dragon. They're just, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
Nashville, what was our Nashville contact there? Do you remember?
Our Nashville contact.
There was a there. Nashville piece and you ate it.
Oh, Nashville hot chicken.
They have
of,
Nashville
of
hot
all
chicken.
All things to have at an Isle of Burke theme park. I think it was because it was spicy and there was something about flames.
Two restaurants there.
But yeah, there were two. I had for lunch that day, I had, the second day, later in the afternoon,
I had
this like mac and cheese bread bowl with hot chicken in it. It was amazing.
Nashville hot chicken made its way to Orlando, of all things. Isn't
that
crazy?
It did.
But I'll tell you, one of the best parts of this was having lunch there.
Yeah.
There's a place called Mead Hall and it's in the mountain. Back to like it was at Jurassic Park where you can order in advance. We walked in, wonderfully air conditioned, great dining space, but the prices were so good.
Yeah.
I had the turkey wings, and keep in mind, it's Viking food.
Yep.
So it's messy.
Very messy.
And I'll post that picture on Instagram too for
Yay.
You. So you see that.
It's great. It's a wonderful picture.
And so I had the turkey wings, onions, baked potato, and carrots
yep,
for $17 again. Yeah. And then you had...
It was a massive turkey wing that you had, by the way.
It was huge. Two of them.
That was the first time where I was like, I'll just buy my own lunch. And I was kind of scared that the portions were going to be small, which is why I ordered this giant platter.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well, at least I'll have enough food here. If I get
the picture looks small, really.
Yeah, the pictures look small, too. Y'all, they brought out like a bucket of food.
It was huge.
There was salmon on my plate. There was three giant chicken drumsticks
huge
on the plate. There were sausages.
Oh, gosh.
There were French fries. There were carrots. There were onions. There was a few other things too, like pickles and relishes and sauces and stuff that they brought out. I couldn't eat a quarter of it.
And then I tried to finish it off. I couldn't. It was enough for three people, and it was in the $40 something for it. So if you go to Mead Hall, order one of those for your whole family.
Yeah.
It's enough for everybody.
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, the rides there.
Yep.
If you want to talk a little about the dragon, I'll talk about the show there.
Okay, yeah. So the ride, the roller coaster that we did there, I forget the name of it. I think it's How to Train Your Dragon.
It's so confusing because they have one called Wing Gliders. They got the other wing thing there.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah,
the dragon coaster.
Yeah, so the
it.
Dragon coaster we went on, the queue was pretty short for it. Yeah. That was also a mostly outdoor one. And you know, the ride itself was great.
It's a lot like Big Bear at Dollywood.
It felt a lot like Big Bear at Dollywood. You know, there was, I think what makes that ride better than Dollywood for me, at least, was that the roller coaster went through the land and the land was fully themed. So at parts of the ride, you're going through buildings
that
have people in them.
Dinosaur eggs that are lighting up.
And there's dinosaur eggs that are lighting up. Dragon eggs that are lighting up.
Dinosaurs are,
yeah. They're dragon, dinosaur, same difference.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk about the show. Well,
Saw. Yeah, they have The Untrainable Dragon, and it's actually an indoor theater. Huge animatronics again. They have Toothless, which is the key dragon from the original movie, and he flies through the air, singing, dancing. Definitely recommend the show. I know you didn't get to do that, but certainly worth the experience there. Yeah. So yeah. Isle of Burke, I love my... It's hard to pick a favorite land there. Mm-hmm. They were also great. But I think Universal shows a glimpse into what the future looks like of theme parks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they used facial recognition more than any theme park we have ever been to. I mean, to like in the queues...
You don't have to stop.
Yeah, in the queues for certain rides, you know, you're not allowed to have... large backpacks or things with you, and obviously that makes a lot of sense. But there's some where they're like, you can't have anything in your pockets at all, and you have to go through metal detection, like you're at an airport security. And before you get to that point, they have lockers that are built into the ride lines.
Facial recognition.
And you just stand up next to it and say, I want to open a locker, and it takes a picture of your face and pops open a locker. And then when you're leaving after the ride is done, you go out on the other opposite side of the lockers where you open it up from the rear. And you just walk up and it scans your face and it opens up your locker. You don't have to have passes or tags or any of that kind of stuff. And the same was true for the entrance into the park as well. We got there and they just like took a picture of our face.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, you're good.
Yeah.
We don't need to see tickets. You're good.
It truly is a wave of the future. So glad we got to do that. So now it's my turn for Nashville Rather.
It's
week for that.
It is. It's your turn for Nashville Rathers. And because you're such a theme park aficionado and a theme park fan, I'm going to pose you this question. I've already answered it in this show, but I'm very curious to hear what you would have to say about it. And the question is this. You can never go to another Universal park again, or you can never go to a Disney park again. Mm.
Gosh, that's tough because you know I love both so much. You know, Disney, there's the nostalgia piece of it for me. Disney California, I can't say I wouldn't miss it that much.
Yeah.
Paris, Disney Paris, you know, I'm doing Disney Tokyo. So that's the hard piece for me here is because Disney's so diverse with so many locations. And if when I can't go to Disney, that means I can't do Tokyo. That means I can't do all these other ones.
Yeah.
But when I'm looking at state of the art and the stage of life I'm in, I think Disney's great for kids and little ones. I think about not being able to ride Guardians of the Galaxy and not go to Epcot again. That makes me really sad. And I feel that if I'm looking at staying power, so this is my other piece about before I answer this question, is if I had to pick one that would last longer if one was going out of business, I think Disney has staying power to be around longer.
Yeah.
So that's what, because I know theme park finances is hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about if I were to give up Disney and then Universal goes away, then I'd be stuck with nothing. So it's a gamble on the future because if Disney were to go away, so I'm going to take the gamble and say Universal.
You're going to say Universal. Wow, that is absolutely shocking to me.
I'm keeping Universal.
I am shocked. That was my favorite as well. Yeah. I think I'm a Universal fan now more than I am a Disney fan. And I think you made a great point that Disney is really geared more towards families and especially families with children. And Universal is more thrill-seeking. And because there were lands that we went into in Disney World where, especially at Epcot, where there's not a ride.
Yeah.
There's just not a ride there. There's nothing to do there but see the buildings.
Right.
And at Universal, it's like every place we went, there was some kind of thrill ride. So I loved that about it.
So you've been to all three parks now.
I have.
Well, we didn't go to Volcano Bay. You've been to City Walk, you know, Volcano Bay, which is the water park. Out of all three of those parks, and attractions and experience, what was your very favorite of all that together now?
My absolute favorite park was Epic.
No, I'm saying attraction.
Oh, attraction.
Yeah,
attraction.
Favorite moment of the trip. What was your favorite attraction moment of the trip?
Gosh, I would have to say the Harry Potter ride for me.
Which one?
The Battle for the Ministry of Magic.
In Epic Universe.
In Epic Universe. Just because the queue, the ride, all of it is so new. It's beautiful. It's just visually stunning when you're on that ride. The things that happen, the way that they achieve things is just, it's a technological masterpiece, honestly. And for you, what would you say yours
is? My favorite moment of the trip, It's going to be Monsters Unchained.
Yeah.
I love brilliance. I love when technology works really well.
Yeah.
It's just amazing for me. Yeah. So, you know, for me, theme parks, just, you know, they're just not rides. They're shared experiences.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget walking into the Harry Potter world with you and you being like a three-year-old. It was so exciting. So for me sharing this with the kids, you know, I've been to all the parks, many of the parks with y'all individually, as a family. But for me, it's the experience of being together.
Yeah. It really matters. And I think if I haven't said it enough already, I'll say it again. Thanks for taking me. It means a lot. It really, especially being in the Harry Potter world, it was like healing my inner child.
Yeah.
To be able to experience that as an adult, to be able to experience the magic and the wonder of that place, it just really, it meant a lot to me. So thank you.
So we want to hear about your favorite Universal memories. If you've been to Universal, even in California, tell us about it. You know, what did you like about it? Put it in the comments of our Instagram or email us. Let us know what you like about it. Like, subscribe, give us a great rating. You're giving us great ratings. We appreciate that.
We do.
We enjoy releasing these on Tuesdays at 2 a.m. But just stay in touch with us. We absolutely love it.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. And until next time, we'll see you on Nashville and beyond. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It does not constitute legal, financial, or real estate advice. Listeners should always consult licensed professionals for guidance specific to their situation. Brian and Zach Copeland are licensed real estate agents with Compass 615-522-5100. Kevin Kennerson, MLS number 171733 with Lindingham Mortgage, is the executive producer. Engineer Mike Reeves. Music Dusty Boots by Eco Leaks. Nashville and Beyond. Copyright 2025.